So we're here on, well, it's kind of Brighton's Royal Mile, and there is a man here in a kilt, but it's not the Edinburgh Fringe, it's Brighton Fringe. And I'm joined by?
Gordon Rayburn.
That's a really Scottish name, and this is a really Scottish title as well.
Yes, well, it's, my full name's Gordon Douglas Rayburn, just for an extra an extra point of Scottishness. But yeah, my show's Pibroch Tales, and it's a one-man show where I tell a series of tales that are inspired by Pibroch, which is an ancient form of bagpipe music. And I tell these stories with some bagpipes, a bit of dancing, a bit of comedy, a bit of mime, and a bit of singing as well, so a bit of everything.
So when we hear the tourist version of bagpipes on the Royal Mile, there's a lot that goes before that in time. There's music that precedes that, ancient music. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Pibroch dates back to the 1600s, so it's kind of the original form of Scottish bagpipe music. And it's much different to, like, Scotland the Brave, which is what everyone thinks about.
Well, even and Mull of Kintyre.
Yeah, Mull of Kintyre, yeah, well, I guess it's McCartney, so that's a bit more stringed along. But this is much more complicated structure, and they can last an hour. So we've taken all the titles, which can be quite silly titles, like Lament for the Little Supper, and I've taken them to create kind of comedy tales from there.
So if I saw a pair of set of bagpipes from that time, would they look very different to now?
They would be pretty much as you see them now, actually, like sheepskin bag and the Highland bagpipes. Yeah. But you do get a bagpipe from all over the world, which different sizes and shapes. And I actually came to Scotland fairly recently compared to everywhere else in the rest of history. But I guess Scotland decided they needed a loud instrument straight about, so we...
And again, I think one of the views of bagpipes that if you ask most people, maybe even in Scotland, is as a military thing, but they're not, are they, only?
No, well, I guess in Scotland it's kind of just an instrument that many people play, and in pipe bands is quite... I guess it's like military bands, I guess, you think about there, but pipe bands are very popular, and that's how you learn a lot of the times. But I learned just from a private tutor, which is when I managed to learn Pibroch, which is a bit more obscure and it's a bit more weird, I guess. Yeah. So that's kind of what drew me to try and make a comedy show about it.
I was staying with friends who have got a house on a place called Scullamy on the Kyle of Tongue, and they got out some bagpipes, and I had my first ever go thinking it would be easy. But I did actually get a tune out of it somehow, but then they begged me to put it down. Can you remember your first time you ever picked up some bagpipes?
When I first picked up, well, I started learning when I was 7, but you learn on a practice chanter, which is, it looks like a flute, I guess, or a recorder.
Right. So I should never have picked them up thinking I could play them.
There is a quote that says it takes 7 years to learn the technique of the bagpipe, 7 years to learn the coordination of the breathing in the bag, and then there's the Pibroch. That's kind of just to highlight how long it takes to learn. And I've been... I'm 25, so that's 18 years I've been playing, so almost there.
And so how did you decide to combine that music with story and bring that to the Fringe as a show?
Well, it kind of came to the titles of these Pibrochs. One thing is that the Pibroch, the structure is so complicated, and it's also kind of a lot like minimalist music. So I wanted to kind of do something with that, and I thought through the titles... is things like Lament for Red Hector of the Battles. Mm. You just want to know what that's about. Mm. And then things like A Flame of Wrath for Patrick Cagach and Hi Ho Tro Tro. So it's kind of going from one extreme to the other, like something that sounds very serious and something that sounds really silly.
And is the history and the stories behind those titles all available to you? Or, you know, some of it been lost?
No, so a lot of the times they're lost, but a lot of the times as well, with Scottish music as well, you just pick a title, you just name it after someone without it having a meaning, just to call it something. So the tales that I tell are actually all original, and I've strung them together to... So one of them is the tale of Red Hector, so that's about his life, like a hobby he did, an argument he had with his wife.
And you've created that story, haven't you?
I've created it with a choreographer, Jane Port, and she's brought some elements of dance as well.
Does your instinct and being so in touch with this music suggest that you might have got the stories right, though, if they were real?
I think, like, together we managed to Yeah, to kind of appropriate something, I guess. It's not something for the historians, though. It is it is all fictional, silly stories.
Yeah, and I guess, the way you're smiling suggests there's some comedy in there, too.
Yeah, a lot of it is comes kind of from a comic slant, so there's some projectile banana at some point, which isn't very Scotland 16th century.
Yeah, and I guess you're bringing that earlier music to a public audience. Is that music surviving in Scotland?
It is for bagpipers, but it's very connoisseur. You have to be a connoisseur of the bagpipes to know about it, and it's also quite, if you don't play the bagpipes, it's quite difficult to listen to because it's so complicated in its structure and it's so long. I think a lot of people kind of tune out after 5 minutes, let alone an hour.
When I come back from the Edinburgh Fringe, I usually spend about a month there. I can hear bagpipes in Brighton. It takes quite a few days for it to go away. And once, actually, in Churchill Square, there was a bagpiper, but it kind of sticks in my head. Do you sleep with the sound of it?
I always feel like I can hear it in the distance because I grew
That's
up...
me, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of grew up with it my whole life. So at some point I'm like, is that bagpipes or is that... Oh no, it's a siren, and it's always in my brain somewhere.
So here down in Brighton, at the other end of the country, what would be your invitation for people to come and see this show?
I would say that it is, if you enjoy the bagpipes, if you enjoy a bit of comedy, something a bit different that combines storytelling, dance, comedy, singing, and it's quite silly. It's not. You don't have to love the bagpipes either because there's only a little bit at the start and then it's just kind of a comedy show that's fun for everyone as well.
Well, that's been my experience. People that are put off by bagpipes, having walked past it along the street, don't realise that when you take it into a show like this, you meet it for the first time.
And there's nothing worse than a bad bagpiper. I'm not the best, but I do know how to play as well, so it's not... it won't be ear poison.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
That's all right. Thank you.